Section 2. Settling the Pamlico Sound and the Cape Fear. As you read, look for what led settlers to the Pamlico and the Cape Fear, the first towns in North Carolina, a religious conflict called Carey's Rebellion, tensions between the settlers and the Tuscarora that led to war, and the following terms: refugee, naval stores, and royal colony. After 1690, the Lord's proprietors made special offers of cheap land to refugees from religious wars in Europe. In 1696, a group of Huguenots, French Protestants, thrown out of their country because they refused to be Catholics, settled on the northern edge of the Pamlico Sound, not far from the mouth of the Tar River. That year, Governor John Archdale convinced the General Assembly to divide the Albemarle into two counties. They were Albemarle, all the land north of that sound, and Bath, all the land south on the Pamlico. People from other places saw the advantages of living nearer Ocracoke Island, where inlets provided shipping lanes into the Atlantic. The settlers hoped to raise cattle on the rich grass that grew among the longleaf pines of the nearby forests. They could slaughter the cows and pigs, cure the meat, and ship it in barrels to the nearby Caribbean islands. The newcomers, at vast labor and expense, recovered and improved vast quantities of land, noted one visitor. So many Virginians headed for the Pamlico that Virginia actually tried to pass laws forbidding them to leave. Settlement of the Pamlico. The Pamlico grew so fast that some newcomers ambitiously started Bath, the colony's first town, in 1705. In 1711, the proprietors approved the establishment of a second town, New Bern, where the Trent and Neuse rivers come together. Where Bath was named for a city in England, New Bern referred to the original home of its first residents. Baron Christoph von Graffenried led a group of German and Swiss from Bern, Switzerland. The refugees, those fleeing danger or persecution, had turned up in London, where Queen Anne helped pay for their trip across the Atlantic. Von Graffenried soon had the town of New Bern laid out. The settlement of the Pamlico caused a new round of troubles for the North Carolina colony. The Lord's proprietors again tried to instill order, but many settlers again resisted. Carey's Rebellion. The proprietors turned to religion as a way to organize the colony. England was organized very successfully into parishes of the Church of England. Its members, called Anglicans, provided educational and welfare services for the people. In contrast, North Carolina was notable for its lack of churches. The Quakers were a minority of the people. According to an Englishman visiting in 1704, there were a great many who have no religion. The Lord's proprietors reasoned that introducing the Church of England might make Carolinians better citizens and better taxpayers. In 1701 and 1703, the General Assembly passed laws establishing the Anglican Church in the colony. Establishment meant that all colonists officially belonged to the Anglican faith, whether they wanted to or not. All citizens were expected to pay church taxes, which would be used to build Anglican churches and pay Anglican clergymen. In 1704, the General Assembly passed the Test Act, which required anyone in public office to put his hand on the Bible and swear to uphold the principles of the Anglican Church, not any other. This proved problematic for the Quakers, whose faith opposed swearing any sort of oath. Governor Thomas Carey used the Test Act to keep Quakers from holding office. They protested to the proprietors, arguing that they had been the colony's best tax-paying citizens for years. The proprietors just sent another governor to Bath, who then tried to require an oath. Carolinians once again prepared for a fight. Thomas Carey sided with the Quakers in order to regain the governorship. The General Assembly held elections to let the voters decide. After much dispute, the Carey faction took control. Carey made himself governor for 3 years, from 1708 to 1711, and let Quakers hold office without taking the test. In 1711, the frustrated proprietors sent Edward Hyde to be the official governor. He quickly had the General Assembly pass new laws aimed at restoring the established church and the political rule of the Anglicans. Carey gathered an armed crowd and attacked the Anglicans, but the arrival of English soldiers from Virginia, requested by the proprietors, persuaded Carey and his followers to flee the colony. In the midst of these troubles, the whole colony was almost lost in an Indian war. The Tuscarora War. As Carey's rebellion kept the colony in an uproar, the Tuscarora Indians attempted to destroy the Pamlico settlements in 1711. Several hundred colonists, including as many as 80 young children, were murdered. The most notable victim was John Lawson, the colony's surveyor, who was scouting for new land when he and Baron von Graffenried were captured. The Tuscarora demanded that von Graffenried promise to leave the Pamlico with his settlers, which he later did. They then tortured and executed Lawson because he was the one most responsible for white intrusions onto their land. The Tuscarora were angry about more than lost land. Their desire to hunt wherever they wanted conflicted with white farmers' need to protect their planted fields. In addition, white traders cheated the natives with poor quality goods and kidnapped Native Americans to sell into slavery in the Caribbean. The Pamlico was totally wasted and ruined. Governor Hyde acted quickly to defend the colony, but only a few men were readily armed. The Quakers and their friends were not going to fight, given their pacifist, anti-war, faith and their anger over their loss of power. South Carolina sent troops to help, mostly Native Americans from its region who were longtime enemies of the Tuscarora. Commanded by Colonel John Barwell, Tuscarora Jack, the South Carolinians defeated the Tuscarora in a series of battles along the Neuse River. But when Barnwell allowed the Native Americans to stay on the Neuse in order to save the lives of hostages, the General Assembly refused to reimburse his expenses. Barnwell then took Tuscarora hostages back to Charlestown, intending to sell them into slavery to recover his losses. Barnwell so angered the Tuscarora that they attacked the Pamlico again in 1712. James Moore, another South Carolina commander, came from Charlestown and once again defeated the Tuscarora in 1713. This time, any Native Americans who were not forced into slavery decided to leave the region. Some went to New York, where they had kin among the Iroquois. By the summer of 1714, the colony had its first peace and quietness since 1700. In 1712, the proprietors had officially separated the two areas of the colony into the provinces of North Carolina and South Carolina. In 1715, the newly established colony of North Carolina rewrote all its laws and added 60 new ones. The Church of England remained the established faith, but Quakers and others could act for liberty of conscience and avoid oaths and other hated obligations. The new laws still required a quitrent each year. Settlement of the Cape Fear. The defeat of the Tuscarora opened up new lands to white settlement after 1715. Most significantly, the Cape Fear region, which included the lands on both sides of the Cape Fear River from its mouth to 50 miles inland, became the most prosperous area of the colony through its production of naval stores. The longleaf pines of Carolina gave the British pitch, tar, and turpentine. Pitch was used to seal ships and keep them from leaking on ocean-going voyages. Tar was painted on ships' rigging, the rope that held the masts and sails in place. During the early 1700s, the British paid bounties for naval stores, which meant they made sure producers got a good price for these essential products. The first settlers to the Cape Fear were led by Maurice and James Moore, who tried to move there around 1723. The Lord's proprietors, considering the Cape Fear to be part of South Carolina, restricted who could live there. To deal with this problem, the Moores called on their friendship with North Carolina Governor George Burrington. He granted land to the Moores once they paid their quitrents in advance, in spite of the proprietors' instructions. Blank patents. Acting like a real estate developer, George Burrington left the Albemarle in 1724 and set up an office at the mouth of the Cape Fear. Burrington took some land deed forms, called blank patents in that day, sold them to the Moores and others, and let them fill in the blanks as to the location of the land later. Maurice Moore acquired more than 9,000 acres, His brother Roger took 2,000, and other in-laws picked up a few thousand more. The proprietors eventually dismissed Burrington, fearing that Burrington and the Moores might convince the king to take the North Carolina colony away from them. While all these matters were being argued, a select group of South Carolinians moved into the Cape Fear. So many of them were related to the Moores or their in-laws that they became known as the family. They used the blank patents to gain more than 80,000 acres. Maurice Moore built a wharf at the mouth of the Cape Fear River and called the tiny cluster of buildings there the town of Brunswick. Governor Burrington even granted himself 10,000 acres of good forests. The end of the proprietorship. The real estate scandal on the Cape Fear pleased no one but the family. South Carolina leaders were angry that land they claimed was being given away. Albemarle leaders were angry that the Cape Fear interests were getting lots of land for very little money. British King George I was unhappy that Carolina continued to be such an impossible place to govern and control. Finally, the proprietors were fed up with the unending troubles that their investment brought them. They decided to sell out and get what money they could from a bad deal. After some negotiation, the Crown bought back its interest in the lands that had become the colonies of North and South Carolina. Each proprietor got £2,500, a considerable fortune in those days. In 1729, North Carolina went from being a proprietary colony to a royal colony. It now belonged directly to the king. As might be expected, the transfer did not go smoothly. One proprietor, Lord Granville, refused to give up his 1/8 ownership of the land. Granville was happy to let the king run the place, but he still wanted to collect his share of quitrents. So the British Crown acquired the whole colony to rule, but only 7/8 of the land to tax. The question, which took years to resolve, was which 1/8 did Lord Granville obtain? Not surprisingly, that dispute led to even more rebellions and fights. History by the Highway. Inglis Fletcher. The early Albemarle was the setting for a series of novels Inglis Fletcher wrote about the first settlers. She mixed real people with imagined characters to capture the struggle and flavor of life, from the failure at Roanoke to the success of the American Revolution. Actual events like the Lost Colony and Culpeper's Rebellion were the focus of the stories. Each had a love story. They sold millions of copies and were translated into 7 languages.